Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on His right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer Him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the King will answer and say to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." Then He will also say to those on His left hand, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer Him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?" Then He will answer them, saying, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Verses 31 through 46, Matthew chapter 25. Father, thank you, Lord, for loving us with an everlasting love. Thank you for how that in your love, mercy, and grace, you saved us and called us out of the world and into a new relationship with you and a new relationship with one another. Thank you for the privilege, the blessing, and the honor it is to be a part of your family, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you for your Holy Spirit who dwells in our midst and dwells inside each of us as well. Father, more and more stir us to be the church you've called us to be, a church that functions as your hands and feet in the world, a church that you can reach through and show the world what your love looks like every single day. And help us more and more individually and collectively to learn to live a lifestyle of love where we're a blessing wherever we go as your Spirit directs us to be. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm continuing to remind and encourage you, we're just a few weeks away from our fall share-a-thon, and we're still looking for some of you that haven't called in to share a listener testimony yet to give us a call. Again, we're looking for you to call in and share for a minute or two how the Lord has reached through American Family Radio to strengthen you, to encourage you as a disciple, you and your family, to help you to follow Him more faithfully. To call in and share that testimony, simply call 1-877-876-8893. Again, that's 1-877-876-8893. We are honored to have with us in studio today Pastor David Ball. He's the pastor of the Anchor Church in Verona, Mississippi. It's been a while since he's been with us, but we're grateful to have him with us again today. Pastor David, how are you today?
I'm doing great, and just thank you so much for allowing me the opportunity to be with you and share this morning with you.
Great to have you always. Again, it's been a little while, but good to have you back. And if you would take time just a little bit further, introduce yourself and tell our listeners about Anchor Church.
Oh, absolutely. Since we've been here, I guess one of the first times I was here and shared with you, we were talking about the church plant that we had just started and what God was doing, and mm-hmm. and since that time, our God has, I guess we've been intentional with evangelism and ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ. But to be perfectly honest, you know my heart, and my heart's never been to grow a congregation, but to build a kingdom. And in doing so, our goal was to take the people we had and minister help, hope, and healing to the hurting people, the people that nobody else, you know, really wants to minister to. The, you know, I tell people all the time, what God called us to do is hug a porcupine. And somebody asked me, how do you hug a porcupine? I say, very carefully. There's some people that are going through a lot of hurt and a lot of pain, and you know the cliche, right? Hurt people hurt people. And so when you're hugging a porcupine, it's dangerous. So you've got to really operate under God's discernment to know how to approach people that are going through difficult seasons of their life. And that's basically what we did at the Anchor Church. We planted a church with the sole purpose to minister help, hope, and healing to the hurting. Our grace. We formed what's called Grace and Mercy Ministries, which is our leg of ministry, outreach ministry at the Anchor Church. We have missions and foreign missions, but this is our calling.
I want to ask you to back up for just 1 minute, Pastor Dave. You're moving a little fast this morning, but you mentioned something that's very important. You know, like we talk about the church, which is the people of God in the world, but you talk about the kingdom of God as well. Tell our listeners what you mean when you speak of building the kingdom rather than planting a church.
Well, a lot of times I think we take the Great Commission and we corrupt it. And what I mean by that, if you go look in Ezekiel 33 and Ezekiel 34, two passages of Scripture, chapters of Scripture where God's talking to the watchmen in chapter 33 and the shepherds in chapter 34. These are the leaders in the church. And God gave me, we've been dealing with the 10 days of awe as a church, and we've been teaching that and our church, because a lot of our Christians are baby Christians. And, you know, they don't understand the law. They don't understand where we came from. They don't understand the principles and the high holy days of the 10 days of all of repentance and prayer and a call for revival and return of God to his people. And we've been teaching through that, those 10 days of all, and there's pre-prepared prayers that are prayed. And last night's fourth day of the 10 days of all was a prayer that was basically that God would save the flock from the shepherds that are advancing their own and not advancing the kingdom. When I reference the kingdom, the kingdom is greater than an individual's call to ministry. It's so much bigger than that. You have a ministry. I have a ministry. Every pastor and born-again believer in Tupelo has a ministry. The kingdom is the combination of all those ministries come together to advance what God has intended to happen in our nation, in our city. And when we get fractioned, you know, we get divided, we become in competition. The watchman on the wall, God gave this to me, and it was so powerful. And the watchman on the wall in Ezekiel, as he teaches, it's a high place, an elevated place. But the elevated place for the watchman is not the watchman being elevated to be seen, but to see. And a lot of times, these high places and positions, we accept not to see and warn of the approaching enemy, but to be seen. And in doing so, God's kingdom work has fallen secondary to the advancement of personal gain, personal influence, personal. And that puts pastors in competition with each other for the sheep. You know, I tell people all the time, everybody in Tupelo is not supposed to be at the Anchor. But everybody in Tupelo is supposed to be planted somewhere bearing fruit. And God's intention is not for us to gather unto ourselves as sheep. It's, you know, Steve Gaines, who took the place in Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis of Adrian Rogers. And so in understanding that, man, there was something powerful when he said, God's called us to be fishers of men and not keepers of aquariums. And so God really laid heavy on my heart at that point to be a fisher of men. So when I say advancing the kingdom of God, seeing the lost saved, those in bondage set free, sick healed, the poor have the gospel preached to them, you know, that's the evidence of the fruit of an anointed, spirit-filled man of God who will lead his people to do that and join with other churches as well. So advancing the kingdom is so much greater, and I think instead of advancing our own influence, being seen, elevated to be seen, I think sometimes we get caught up in ourselves instead of in what God's doing. Thy will be done.
Well, right? Would you take a moment now specifically to pray for believers to really grasp both what you're sharing and to have ears to hear what the Holy Spirit will say to them through the broadcast? Because God's speaking to absolutely every believer listening.
Absolutely.
He's speaking to them, and he wants them to hear, learn, and grow. And some of them are persons who may be a part of a church that God wants to use them to bring revival to that church.
Amen.
But God has full-time ministry for every one of us, but we have to have ears to hear to know how to live that
Amen.
Out. Would you pray for
Absolutely.
Listeners in that regard?
Heavenly Father, we just come to you right now and boldly walk into your presence and make our petitions known to you. God, we right now call for an awakening to take place.
Yes.
God, I pray
Jesus.
For the cotton to be removed from the ears of believers Thank so Lord they can Jesus. Hear. And God, not only hear, but not just be a hearer of the
Thank
word,
you,
but God,
Jesus.
Let that word not be logos and the entire Jesus. Encompassing word, but be rhema,
Thank
where it speaks
Lord
directly
Jesus.
To them as an individual.
Thank you.
And God, as they receive this as coming to them as an individual, they will not just hear, but they will act and be emboldened to do what you're calling them to do. So God, right now, I ask you to remove the blinders, remove the earplugs. May we hear your voice. May we see your work that's to be done. And may we act with boldness to accomplish the things you've set before us. Holy Spirit, go before us. Prepare
Thank
the way.
You,
Empower us to do this work, not in the form of godliness, denying the power, but acting in obedience with power.
Yes,
in
Lord.
Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Pastor David, I want to ask if you'll take a little bit more time now to share with our listeners what the ministry picture of the Anchor Church looks like and why you've gone in the directions you've gone with ministry.
Well, God called us, been a while, but God called us in the beginning stages to provide help, hope, and healing to hurting people. And what God told me was he is going to grow people in ministry. The work of the church is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. And so what happened is there are people that just were hungry to minister to people in different likes, and they would come to me and they would say, David, I want to minister. And here's what I want to minister to. And then our role as a church is to help equip them to do that ministry. So we looked around us in our community. We saw the needs of our community. And then we began to step out in obedience to address those needs as the community here in Tupelo.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, no faith-based drug and alcohol treatment facility was in existence. Right now, there's six in our surrounding area. But when we started 8 years ago, there were none.
Mm-hmm.
And so we planted that ministry for men, 2 years later for women.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been a mainstay, but ministry has grown up from that, a feeding
mm-hmm.
ministry where we give away through Servant's Heart feeding program. Matter of fact, this Saturday in Verona, we'll be given to 300 families over 50 pounds of groceries
mm-hmm.
To the needy families, identifying the needy ones. And that's a feeding program that's been born out of a group of people from Corinth, Mississippi, with First Baptist Church that have coupled with us
mm-hmm.
at the Anchor Church to work together and to feed the hungry people that are in Verona and the surrounding area. So those are how ministry is basically begun, is from the heart of individuals that are just coming and, you know, to a pastor that's excited when they come and say, I want to help. How can I help? Here's where my heart is.
Mm.
God breaks your heart first for what breaks his heart. Mm. And then from that broken heart grows passion.
Mm-hmm.
Passion drives us to act. When you're passionate about something, you can act. I mean, you can become passionate about something and do nothing. You
mm-hmm.
cry when the commercial comes on, you know, but you don't write the check. You know what I mean? There's a big difference.
That's
you
right.
know, we can be compassionate about an issue, but it never transfers to passion. I think the church is full of compassionate people,
mm-hmm.
but they're not passionate about anything particular, so they're not accomplishing anything to advance the kingdom.
Mm. Yeah, well, I want you to pick up right there on the other side as we go into this break. Again, our in-studio guest is Pastor David Ball. He's the pastor of Anchor Church in Verona, Mississippi. We'll be right back.
Create in me a clean so I may worship thee. Everybody say, yeah.
Of Donnie McClurkin, Create in Me a Clean Heart. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our in-studio guest today is Pastor David Ball, the pastor of Anchor Church in Verona, Mississippi. Pastor David, if you pick up where you left off as you were sharing about just the outreaches of the church, and I want to specifically ask you if you'll emphasize this too. You said you have, did I understand correctly, a drug rehab house for men and for women as well?
Yeah, the Transformation Ranch is the facility that we have and had for a while. We've seen over 200 salvation of souls. Our church is full of men that have grown through the program, gotten saved, gotten free from drug addiction. And society and the state facilities are seeing less than 6% of people recover from a chemical addiction to drugs. Some of the drugs are synthetic. That means they're cooked. Mm. And when they're cooked, they're getting worse. They're getting more intense, and it really is frying their brains. And you see people walking around and in the cities, and you see this a lot. You see them walking around talking to themselves, and it's a scary sight to see and behold as their minds are being fried. So the damage that's being done is so intense that only 6%, we're seeing, you know, closer to 40-45% of the people that come to our ministries live clean for an extended period of time, if not indefinitely. And we've got guys that are in our ministry now ministering that have come up through the program. Transformation Home is for women. It followed a couple years right after that. And we've bought the First Baptist Church of Verona because they had a huge education space that was not being used. And when we bought that property and we took on that campus, we moved upstairs and we made it apartments and for the girls. It's a safe environment. They're, you know, in the house of the Lord, right? And so that's
so they're in the church facility.
They're in the church facility now.
It's nice to live in the church.
Man, I'm telling you, that's a safe place, no doubt. But at the same time, this ministry, because of these girls and what we were seeing, and the guys too, but especially the girls, 99% of the girls, I'm just falling short of saying 100% of the girls that are in addiction, 99% of the girls that are in addiction have had some type of sexual abuse in their life. Some type of, whether it be rape, whether it be child molestation, whether it be something that's caused them such great pain that they felt the need to numb themselves. We found that a lot of them were trafficked, and that gave birth, because God's constantly stirring our hearts and to the need. At the time, there were no facilities, hardly at all. You know, Ann Reed is the chairman of our committee for the Transformation Garden, and you know, she's here with AFA and wonderful woman of God has been doing the research, and she's just, since we've started this building process of building this new building for the Transformation Garden, Ann's revealing how many more are popping up. 8 Days of Hope is going to come in December, and I know they're a partner here, and they are going to finish off our building. We're trying to get as far as we can so they can finish it off. And then we will, in January, begin to minister to the girls that have been sexually trafficked. It's a catchphrase, but basically what that is they are bribed, forced, or manipulated into acts of sex where they do not receive the financial compensation somebody else does. And so because of that, there's a lot of people that are, you know, are getting on board with these types of ministries, but we just can't ignore, because of a heart of God that dwells inside of us. We can't ignore and stay on the sideline. I don't see how churches do that. I really don't, Joseph. I've become across so, I guess, harsh. That's the coach in me. You know, if you're not doing your job, I say, son, you're not doing your job. I got somebody on the bench that will, and we'll get somebody else out there if you don't want to do the job. And and I'm like, sometimes I wish God would say that. You know, hey, look, guys, y'all not doing your job. We're gonna, you know, we're gonna revoke your jersey, and we're gonna give it to somebody that will. God's grace and mercy is sufficient, and he's so much kinder and gentler. But I think he's nudging us all. He didn't intend for us to attend church. He intended for us to be the church, be his hands and feet. Like you were reading in Matthew.
Well, you know, Pastor David, that's exactly true. And, you know, the reality is God is the greatest coach we've ever had. He does pull people. He just doesn't pull them as quick and quite the way we think he should. But the reality is that it's important to understand. And one of the reasons why I appreciate you coming and sharing about the work you're doing in your church is that by the grace of God, God has led you to lead a congregation that's functioning as a role model for many other churches. Because to be honest, there are many a church that the pastor and the people may genuinely love the Lord, but aren't necessarily involved in hands-on ministry that reaches people where they're hurting, where they're bleeding, where they're dying. Yeah. And the fact is, for many churches, their perspective may be, I don't quite know how to do that. Right. Well, the reality is, again, two things we can do, draw closer to God, listen to God, but learn from those who are doing it.
That's true.
And the reality is, again, it's easy to say, I don't know how, but the reality is the Holy Spirit's always looking for vessels he can use because the work is out there. There's so much need. And I did want to mention too, if there's someone listening who'd like to learn more about the Anchor Church or would like to get in touch with you, there may be some that want to become intercessors for the work you're doing, or there may be people who think, well, I just want to give financially to help a work that's doing those kinds of things. How could they get in touch with you?
Well, you can get in touch with us at the Anchor Church in Verona. You can go to the webpage there in the Anchor Church, and also you can go to Facebook and you can follow there. You can call us at the Anchor Church. All the phone numbers are there. I don't have them on me right now. I don't call the church very often. I should have been better prepared. But the Transformation Ranch and the home and the numbers are advertised. But Facebook and social media, it's all over the place. And then also on our webpage, everything is there that you can. All of our ministries are there. Okay. One of the things that you were talking about, Joseph, is I want to address that. I don't think I can. There's a remnant inside of every church that's hungry for the things of God. You know, before I became a pastor, I traveled as Coach Ball, and I was old coach, but I would go and preach the gospel anywhere and everywhere, and do youth revivals, youth camps, and revivals all over the place. And in doing so, I came across a lot of churches, and what I found is there's a remnant inside every church of hungry people. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about really hungry people to do the will of God. I think what's happened is we've taken on this mindset of professional ministry, that you've got to be seminary trained to do this. Don't do this on your own. We're seminary trained. You know, you pay us and we'll go do the hard stuff and the heavy lifting. And I don't find that anywhere in Scripture. Mm-hmm. What I find is a group of hungry men that became followers of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And they just saw what he did and they began to practice it themselves. Mm-hmm. I say this from the pulpit so much and about our ministries. We have no idea what we're doing. I mean, it's like every day is new. Every day it's hard. It's difficult. Mm-hmm. You know, during the lockdown, everybody was worried about COVID. We had 8 individuals that we had contact with through our ministries that committed suicide or overdosed. Just during that short period of time, it intensified. When you isolate as an addict, that's the worst thing you can possibly do. Mm-hmm. And then you put a pocket full of money with stimulus check in their hands. Mm-hmm. And now you've coupled a disastrous situation, and we were struggling trying to figure out how to minister to hurting people during this season. Do we protect our, you know, we've got a lot of, our church has an early morning service at 8:30 that's a traditional service. We have a lot of our elderly people there in that service, and they want to be a part of these ministries, and they want to help, but they're having to protect themselves through all of this, and we're having to minister through all of this. It was hard. I told people, I don't have a clue what to do. I just know that, like you said it best. You said, we hear the voice of God and we obey the voice of God. It's really that simple. Mm-hmm. God stirs your heart and he compels you to act. You got to hear that voice and obey. It's a step of faith.
And you know, Pastor David, along with that too, just in line exactly with what you're saying, is that like it's good for us to understand. Often we think, well, ministry is what my pastor does, or ministry is what missionaries do. Ministry is doing the will of God.
Absolutely.
In any situation, any circumstance, and when, if the Word of God or the Spirit of God tells you to do something, that's ministry. It's
Absolutely.
Getting God's work done. And God has work for all of us.
Yes.
Every day. And our job, again, as you just alluded to, we listen to God and we do what He says. And when we were speaking earlier, I was quoting, it was, I don't recall the pastor's name, but during World War II, it was, I believe it was in Poland, where his congregation saw the things happening. They saw the way the Nazis were capturing and imprisoning the Jews, and they wanted, Pastor, what do we do? And his response to them was, if you know who you are, you'll know what to do. You'll know what to do.
Yeah.
And I think it's powerful. So powerful because, again, we're the hands and feet of Jesus.
Amen.
And just as you've shared, some of the outreaches of your church have been God reaching through you to find people where they are, to bring healing and hope to their lives.
Amen.
That's what we're to be about.
Amen. And, you know, I believe, you know, this 10 days of awe that we've been going through, and God has really been speaking, a lot of fasting, a lot of praying, crying out to revival and for revival, and sitting, developing to that holiest day of Yom Kippur, which is what God is intending and instructing us to be a part and to do, which is the day of the cross, right? That's the ultimate Yom Kippur. That's the spotless Lamb of God. But one Sunday I was preaching and teaching on this, and a young man came up to me. And of course I was talking about repentance, and he said, I have no idea what the word repentance means, but I know I need to do it. And I was able to pray with him during the invitation. He got saved. We have three people get saved in the second service on Sunday, and last week we had three saved. God is moving, but all of these people that are getting saved are coming off the streets. They've never heard the gospel. One of the young men that got saved, he came up to me and he said, how do I hear from God? And I said, well, you get in the Bible. He said, I don't have a Bible. So I sent somebody to get him a Bible and got him a Bible. And we handed him a Bible, brand new Bible that we give the guys that phase up. And so, and I said, okay, turn to John. He said, how do I find John? So I had to open him up to the front of the Bible, underline John, underline Matthew, Mark, Luke. I said, these are where I want you to start, especially the red letters. It's the voice of Jesus. He's speaking to you. All of this is the voice of God. But I want you to pay close attention to what Jesus is saying, because he's saying it to his disciples, the ones that were following him. So I want you to listen especially to what he's saying. And in doing so, he said to me, he said, well, how will I know when I get to the end of John? So I had to go to the top, and I said, well, start with John 1. And I said, what's John 1? See, a lot of people, you know, in my mind, I grew up in church. All these questions were stuff. We're reaching people because we're intentional about getting out in the community and ministering to people. And what I didn't realize, he got saved. We got him involved with the beginning stages, 31 days in the Bible, you know, to start somebody off with teaching them about the Bible. This is the Bible, 66 books, things that you and I take so for granted. We don't even know how. I mean, I was struggling so much trying to break it down on an elementary level to him. It was kind of reminding me of my junior high coaches. I have so much respect now for my junior high coaches that introduce kids to the game of basketball, the organized game of basketball, not just street ball, that because you're breaking it down to the most simplest form. And I'm used to dealing with God's word and the precept on top of precept, right? And all of a sudden, this I'm realizing how simple it has to be to reach the individuals that are coming off the streets, that are coming into our church, and we've got to be ready for this. I believe right now there's a coming revival. With all of my heart, I believe there's awakening of the church. I believe that the wolves that are in sheep's clothing are being removed. That was the prayer last night from the Jewish prayers of the 10 days of awe. There's a prayer each night from last night's prayers that the wolves would be removed, the sheep would be removed from the wolves that are what we were talking about a while ago, were dragging their own kingdom and building their own kingdom and robbing from others' fields. That's what God is doing right now. He's awakening the men of God, stirring their hearts, removing those that are not doing what God's called, putting in their place hungry men and women of God that will proclaim truth. I believe from that will be the next great awakening. And we have to be prepared to minister
to these people that are coming off the streets that's never read the Bible, that's never talked to anyone about Jesus, you know, never heard the story of Jonah. Like my little daughter wanted to hear the story of that long-haired guy that had that mean old woman. You know, okay, so we read the story of Samson and Delilah. You know, I mean, it's like that little simplistic form of I got a question. I don't have a clue what repentance is and what you're talking about, but I know I need to do it.
That's right.
Isn't that beautiful? To me, that's one of the most beautiful things I've ever heard anybody speak. And the, you know, years of pastoring and preaching and teaching, that hunger, I don't know. It's kind of like Peter, are y'all going to leave? Jesus asked him, are y'all going to leave too? And I don't know where I go. Yours are the words of life. In other words, I don't have a clue what you're talking about. When you say eat flesh and drink blood, I don't have a clue what you're talking about. But I know what I'm hearing is the words of life, and I'm going nowhere until I do understand it. And that's the beauty of it, of that humility, that humble walk with God, where you humble yourself before Him. And I believe that's the awakening that the church has got to be ready and prepared for. And that's my prayer for everybody that's listening right now, that they would be awakened to the point and prepared for the influx of lost people that are getting saved, that need to be discipled and taught the ways of God. The true ways of God, not this watered down version and feather in the ear.
Not
version.
Tradition.
Not tradition, but the word.
That's right. That's right. We'll pick up on the other side. Our in studio guest is Pastor David Ball, the pastor of Anchor Church in Verona, Mississippi. We'll be right back. Of Carrie Job, Forever. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our in-studio guest is Pastor David Ball. He's the pastor of the Anchor Church in Verona, Mississippi. Father, we thank you once again for the work that the Anchor Church is doing. And thank you, Lord, for churches like that church that have taken it upon themselves to initiate and to develop ministries that really reach people where they're hurting, where they're bleeding, where they're in great difficulty in going through storms in their lives. Lord, raise up more and more congregations and ministries that specifically help people that find themselves in the ditches of life. And Lord, help us as individual believers to have ears to hear as you'd have us to either start such outreaches and ministries or be a part of them or to contribute to them financially or to volunteer in such ministries. But help us to know, Lord, that we're never to be like the priest and the Levite in the story in the story of the Good Samaritan. We're not to live a lifestyle of passing by on the other side, but you've called us to be like the Samaritan in that powerful story. You told us to go and do likewise. Help us to live lives full of compassion, lives of grace, where when we see needs, our question is always, Lord, what do you want me to do? And we go and do what you would have us to do, to love people, to help people, to be your instrument through which you can reach and bring healing and wholeness to their lives. Stir us to recognize who we are as the Church of Jesus Christ, your hands, your feet in a hurting, dying world. Thank you for the chance for us to be your vessels daily. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Pastor David, I wanted to touch briefly on, you know, we read Matthew 25, and I want one of so many powerful truths and insights from that passage is that we're not just talking about in that passage as we read it. It's not just a story in the Bible that tells us it's nice if the church reaches out. The reality is there are people that think they're on their way to heaven today that are on their way to hell. And one of the realities is that that is not a passage that says, well, if you do all these things, that saves you, and if you don't, it doesn't. No. The issue is, if we're genuinely saved, our lives will be characterized by ministry. Absolutely. Our lives will be characterized by a lifestyle of reaching out to those who are hurting, those who are just, again, in the ditches of life. And so, again, I alluded to the story, the powerful parable of the Good Samaritan. Yeah. It's sad how many believers live a lifestyle of like the priest and the Levite. They see needs, but for whatever reason, they bypass them all the time. Yeah. They don't reach out and help.
Yeah.
Any thoughts that come to mind?
Yeah. About the past? You know, when you were reading Matthew 25, it also so relates to Matthew 7 when it talks about the false prophets, and it talks about those that, he said, beware of the false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep. Mm-hmm. And understand that they're actually vicious wolves. Mm-hmm. And this is a warning straight from the Lord himself, and he's teaching us that there will be, and he even referenced it. He said, when I go, there are going to be some even among you now, mm-hmm, that will rise up and teach a different truth of doctrine. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is the compromise. Mm-hmm. You know, for the sake of our ministry and the growth of the church and to keep people happy and in the pews and tithing, we don't address sin like we need to. And Paul says it this way, I'm innocent of the blood of all men because I have not failed to preach the entire counsel of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is inferred by Paul's statement? That it's possible for us as men of God stand in the pulpit and the blood of the sheep, mm-hmm, that are hearing us preach but are not being warned, mm-hmm, and not turning away from sin, their blood, even though that will be on their responsibility, because Jesus said that when he was talking about the watchman, he says their blood will be on their own hands because they made the decision to turn away from God and to go. But because you didn't warn them, mm-hmm, I will also hold their blood to your account. Mm-hmm. And I believe that that's going on in the church today, that you know, that there are men of God, women of God, that are avoiding harsh topics. And not only that, but they are endorsing sin.
Mm-hmm.
They're endorsing it, even though God's word is plain and it's simple, and it's somehow that they say, well, it's, you know, it's outdated. It's, you know, mm-hmm, it's run its course, and mm-hmm, of course, you know, the whole Rob Bell love wins, nobody goes to hell. Mm-hmm. This type of heresy that's out there that so many people are falling into it. Mm-hmm. Jonathan Edwards, the reason George Whitfield, excuse me. The reason why
we have cold, dead churches is cold, dead men preach to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that with all of my heart, that the churches mm-hmm. are dying because of lack of knowledge, mm-hmm. because of lack of vision. Mm-hmm. And all of that comes from the men of God that are in the pulpit. The reason why I'm so harsh on our pastors and touch not God's anointed, do his prophets no harm. I don't take lightly, so I'm not naming anybody names. Mm-hmm. I'm not attacking any one man of God or that's holding a position. That's for God to determine and to remove and to put in their place people that are doing that. But what I am saying is that there is a lack in this nation, and it's created the rebellion. Mm-hmm. And let me explain that. Rebellion is fostered through inconsistency mm-hmm. in our children's life. When we tell our kids to do one thing, but mm-hmm. we do another, mm-hmm. that fosters rebellion. When we're inconsistent in raising our kids, we tell them it's wrong today, but we let them slide tomorrow. That mm-hmm. fosters rebellion. You apply that to the church. When the inconsistency about what we preach and teach and the way we live is totally different, and then when we don't align ourselves with God's word mm-hmm. and we don't fall down solely thus saith the Lord, then what happens? It fosters a sense of rebellion in mm-hmm. the church pew and in our nation. They're seeing the hypocrisy of the church mm-hmm. when we're endorsing what clearly God calls sin.
That's right.
And it's fostering rebellion. You see it on the streets. Mm-hmm. You see the riots mm-hmm. because the church isn't consistent. The church isn't real. The church isn't standing on God's word, the infallible, inerrant word of God. We're not standing on it. Thus I stand, I can do no more. That stance is not taken. Mm-hmm. And because that stance is not taken, the inconsistency is created hypocrisy, and the church word is not being received. Matter of fact, last night, mm-hmm. the fourth day of the 10 days of awe, the high holy days,
mm-hmm.
It's all about self-reverence. I love the song, the first song that was played, created me mm-hmm. a clean heart.
That's right.
You know, from David, when he was caught in mm-hmm. sin mm-hmm. by the prophet, what did he do? One of the most mm-hmm. beautiful psalms in Scripture, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lord, it's against you and you alone mm-hmm. have I sinned. Oh, God, remove my transgression from me. I can hear his heart. I can hear his heart crying out to God, God, forgive me.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it be beautiful if the men of God took the lead in repentance for our sin? If the men of God would humble ourselves, the ones that stand in the pulpit and say, Lord, against you and you alone have I sinned.
Would you take a moment to pray specifically for believer leaders and people to really have that kind of heart, to really have that kind of repentance?
I would like to. I brought it with me. I didn't know this. We talked a little bit. We really didn't know where the Holy Spirit was leading us at the beginning. But last night, mm-hmm. the prayer that the Jewish people would pray on day four
mm-hmm.
is so powerful.
Okay.
And I would like to read this prayer.
Okay.
This is the call to prayer,
mm-hmm.
The Talif, that call to prayer of the 10 days for day four. Last mm-hmm. night, as I taught at 7 o'clock, I'm teaching every night at 7 o'clock mm-hmm. on this issue, and we're praying. We stop and pray. We're 30 minutes of teaching and then the prayer. And I'd like to pray this prayer from the Jewish people in this time. And look at how it applies to today. Even though this prayer has been prayed 1,000 years,
mm-hmm.
this is the prayer. But this is specific prayer that they prayed, according to the prophets of Ezekiel.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty powerful.
Okay.
Let me pray this, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now, and we ask you that the sheep of Israel would be delivered from the wicked shepherds who muddy the waters and feed themselves rather than the flock. That the sheep be snatched out of the hands of shepherds who divide the flock of Israel, that all wolves in sheep's clothing and all false prophets be exposed for who they are in truth, in accordance to Ezekiel 34, Jeremiah 23, and even Matthew 7. We pray that the spirit of Jezebel that controls the church would be rooted out from among us. That we would stop lying about God's word, that we would stop trying to steal from the fields of others.
Thank you.
And that Israel's prophets would no longer fear man.
Yes, Lord.
We pray for the spirit of Elijah.
Thank you.
That he might instead be fully released in our day today. Lord, we ask you that you would root out from amongst us those that are leading people away from God and not towards him. Heavenly Father, have your way in our midst today and from this day forward. May the church be awakened to be who you, Yahweh, have called us to be. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor David. Our time is almost gone here, Pastor David, again. And thank you again for sharing about the work and the vision of Anchor Church. And again,
absolutely,
thank you for allowing you and your church family to, in many ways, be a role model for other churches to learn about ways to really reach out to, especially the people that are broken, that are hurting in extreme ways in life. Any final words you'd like to share with our listeners?
Yeah, that prayer, when we were talking about the work of the enemy and the spirit of Elijah that's necessary to confront the spirit of Jezebel, you know the story there that was behind that. And what's happened is there's behind the scenes of a lot of pastors, they fall under the control of individuals that are puppet masters, if you would, that are controlling behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. That's what that's referencing. It's referencing in the churches a lot of times it's not the man of God, but the man of God is hindered by people and individuals in the church that are trying to run the church from behind the scenes. They do that through fear and intimidation, and that's what the spirit of Jezebel did. Through intimidation, tried to control the man of God. And that's why it's so necessary for the men of God to operate under that realm of the spirit of Elijah, where they would boldly confront the work of the enemy to advance the kingdom of God.
Okay. Well, our time's about gone. Share your website one more time if someone wants to get in touch with you.
Yes, it is found at anchor-church.net. Anchor-church.net. And you can find all the information there.
All right. Thank you again. Our in-studio guest has been Pastor David Ball. Thank you, Pastor David, for being with us.
Thank you for having me. It's been a joy.
All right, and thank you for being a part of our listening family. Please pray for Pastor David Ball and the Anchor Church and the ongoing outreach they're doing. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.